Oh, I'm going to rant today in this episode. I am going to tell you about things that surprise me and make my head want to explode. Because I hear people all the time say they want to grow and they want to attract healthy, sustainable relationships. And then I find out that they aren't doing the very things in their own lives that will make that happen. It just blows my mind to hear people say they want something and yet they are not doing the very things it takes to have it. So in today's episode, I'm going to share 4 things that you must be doing if you truly want a healthy, sustainable relationship. So let's get to it.
Welcome to the Attracting Lasting Love podcast, presented by CoachingWithRoy.com. You found the place where single adults come for mindful wisdom and insight into how to attract and create healthy, lasting, conscious relationships. And now, here's your host, the owner of CoachingWithRoy.com, number one best-selling author, certified relationship coach, and TV analyst, Roy Biancalana.
Well, hello again, and welcome to another edition of the Attracting Lasting Love podcast. My name is Roy Biancalana, and you better buckle up today, because this episode is titled Roy's Rants, 4 Things That Make My Head Want to Explode. Now, if you follow this podcast, you know about 6 months ago, and I believe it was podcast number 136, I did the first installment of this, the Roy's Rants thing, and I did not know how it would be received. I didn't know if my audience would hate it. I didn't know if I would turn people off or offend people, but I got quite a bit of positive feedback on it, and so I thought I'd do it again, you know, because there's always stuff that's pissing me off about relationships and what's going on in the world out there. So this is my anger therapy. This is where I kind of get it out of my system. No, I'm not really angry. Actually, I'm in quite a good mood right now. I mean, I'm in Chicago. It's April, getting closer to golf season. So, you know, I'm in a really good mood. And yet, I'm going to let it rip today. Okay, I'm going to rant on some stuff that I think you need to hear. In fact, I think in that first episode of Roy's Rants, many people in my audience, I think, sat back and listened and cheered. Like, you go, Roy, you tell them, right? Because in that episode, I said a bunch of things that I think a lot of people in my audience resonate with, and they don't like it either, and they were glad to hear me rant on it and, you know, say some negative things about some weird podcasts out there and some of these weird relationship ideas that are damaging and so forth. So I think a lot of people listened to that and was like, yeah, Roy, you get them. You get them. Well, today's episode, I'm not going after them. I'm coming for you. Now, this episode is going to be directed, I think, more at you. And so right there, I'm hoping that you will really open your heart and listen. And more than that, I'm hoping that you actually do the things that I'm going to talk about today. I mean, I'm hoping you really buy in and you really commit and you really take, you know, my rude and sort of in-your-face approach today. I hope you take it to heart. And if this is a little bit of a ass whooping for you, then I hope you take it. and I hope it benefits you. Hope it maybe wakes you up a little bit. Because I think the 4 things I'm going to talk about today are just absolutely essential. If you are at all serious about personal growth and healthy relationships. Okay. So I'm going to get to that in just a minute, but I do want to promote the next series that I'm doing. This is a series coming up that, I've been wanting to do for a long time. I just never felt that it was the right time. But I think it really is now. And so I'm going to start a series next week. I believe it's going to be a 5-part series, and it's called The Path of Awakening. So I'm going to talk about really what does it mean to be spiritual? What does it mean to wake up? What is enlightenment? What does it mean to be an evolved, awakened being? Okay. And the reason I'm doing this is because, one, it's a serious issue and passion of mine. But also, I want to be balanced in this podcast. So I look back in the last few months, and in the beginning of the year, I did a series, you know, on how to find your partner. It was the, you know, what was it called? The Pursuit of Intimacy, right? Seven-part series on how to find your partner. And then I just finished up a 6-part series on improving your relationship skills, right? So a big emphasis on finding your partner, and then a big emphasis on just your development of your relationship and life skills, which you need if you're going to be in a healthy relationship. But now I kind of want to address the spiritual dimension of who we are. And I think it's necessary in a lot of ways, but mostly because I love the subject and I want to be balanced and I want to touch my audience's life in every dimension that is important and every dimension that affects how they live and the amount of suffering they experience or don't experience and the quality of their lives and the quality of their relationships. So that's what's coming. A 5-part series called The Path of Awakening. And I can tell you right now, in part 5, I am excited to announce that I am going to interview my friend, Jim Dethmer. He's been on the podcast before a couple of years ago. He's one of a few people in the world that I would feel comfortable saying that he's an enlightened being. Okay, he probably would not be comfortable hearing that. But I put him in the category of people like Michael Singer and Eckhart Tolle and Byron Katie and, you know, Hale Dawoskin. And, you know, I mean, he's just gotten that far down the path, if there is such a thing as a path. He is way down that path. And he's been a mentor of mine, a friend of mine for 30 years. And so we're going to wrap up the series on The Path of Awakening by talking to someone who is going to share a couple of the signposts or the waypoints in his journey throughout his life. And I think it's going to be very, very meaningful for you. Very interesting, and I'm hoping very inspiring. All right? So that's what's coming. Now, on to this week. I'm going to rant, okay? And let me just set this up for you by saying this. Most of us, okay, I'm not going to say it that way. I was going to say most of us are full of shit. That's not fair. I'm projecting. I'm the one who's full of shit. But what I want to say is most of us say that we want things and that something is very important to us and that we're really committed to something and yet the rest of our life doesn't align with it. The way we use our time and our energy and our effort doesn't match with what our words say, right? So, I mean, most of us are kind of hypocritical. I know I am. I mean, I know that I say things about myself and about what's important to me, and my life doesn't always align with that. I don't always do what I say, okay? So just to let you know that I'm not that different from you or anyone else. But I really do think that we do have this tendency to deceive ourselves, to kid ourselves, to tell ourselves or even the world that certain things are really important to us. And then if someone looked at our lives and the way we live and spend our time and our effort and our energy, they would not see the proof in the pudding. They would not see that, oh, okay, you say this is important to you, and now I've looked at the way you live your life and I'm seeing it. You know, there's a good chance that they might find that we are not always aligned between our actions and our words. So let me give you an example of this. Let's just say someone said, you know, physical fitness, health and fitness are so important to me. I mean, it's just a focus of my life. It's something that I'm really committed to and I really want. I'm really into health and fitness. And then you look at their lives and you see that they smoke a pack of cigarettes a day. They're eating at McDonald's and other fast food places 3, 4, or 5 times a week. And they never exercise. They don't lift weights. They don't do any cardio. And so you would see that and you would say, okay, you can think you're committed to health and fitness, but you ain't, because look at how you're living. So it almost doesn't, I don't care what you say. You're smoking cigarettes. You're eating junk food. You're not exercising. You aren't committed to health and fitness. Come on now. Okay. So in like fashion, I know all of us, me, you, people listening to this podcast, we would all say that we are committed to personal growth, that we're really interested in that. We really want that. We want a healthy, sustainable relationship. We're interested in growing and learning, evolving, right? And so that's what we say. And so what I'm ranting about today is that very often in our lives, the things that we're doing and that we're dedicated to and that we're committed to are not in alignment with that. So it's a little bit like the health and fitness person smoking a pack of cigarettes. No, you're not committed to health and fitness. And what I'm saying today is if you aren't doing these 4 things, you're not committed to personal growth. You're not really committed to having a healthy, sustainable relationship. Because if you really were, then these 4 things you would already be doing. You would listen to the rest of this podcast and you would be like, yep, doing that. Check. Yep, doing that one, doing that one, doing that one. Check, 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 check. That you just described my life, Roy. And if that was true, then I would look at you and say, yeah, you are committed to personal growth. You are committed to having a healthy, sustainable relationship. You really are committed to learning and growing and evolving, because you're going to see that they go together, that you can't say you're doing one without doing these 4 things. Does that make sense? Now, that's pretty harsh. And that is. I mean, I feel a little self-conscious in even saying this. But this is one of those podcasts where I sort of want to shake us all a little bit. I kind of, you know how you can be asleep and, you know, someone can wake you up with just a little nudge. And then other times you're so deeply asleep, someone's got to shake you hard or dump a glass of water on your face or something because you're so asleep. Well, this is a podcast coming from the perspective of I'm throwing buckets of water here. I'm kind of looking at my audience and saying, are you blowing smoke? And I know you say you're interested in spiritual growth and healthy relationships, but if you're not doing these 4 things, you're deceiving yourself. You're blowing smoke. And so I want to go through these 4 things and sort of challenge you to really integrate them into your life in significant ways. And we'll get into that, exactly what that means as we go. I'm going to start with the easiest and end with the most challenging. And the first one is going to be something that I can touch on relatively quick. The next three will take a little bit more time to develop. All right. So here's Roy's rants. Four things that people rarely do that make my head want to explode, especially when they say that they're really interested in growing and attracting healthy dynamics into their life. Number one, if you are truly committed to personal growth, then you're reading The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer numerous times per year. Okay? The Untethered Soul is by far the most powerful, articulate, and easy to understand personal growth book ever written, and nothing's even close. Now, I love Eckhart Tolle. I've read his book, A New Earth and the Power of Now, at least five times a piece, at least. Okay? And they're fantastic, but they are not as clear and easy to understand and apply as Michael Singer's book, The Untethered Soul. So if I met someone and they were like, oh, I'm into personal growth. You know, I really am. I'm really wanting to grow and evolve and learn. I'm like, yeah. What'd you think of Michael Singer's book, The Untethered Soul? Oh, I haven't read it. And then in my head, I'm like, and this is going to be judgmental, I just admit it to you, I'm like, man, you're not serious about your growth. You're not. Because if you haven't read The Untethered Soul, you're just not. Because it's the book. If you're going to read anything, it's the book. And I don't mean just read it. Oh, yeah, I read that book and it's on the shelf. I read it a couple years ago. No, I mean to treat the book like a Christian would treat the Bible. Do you know what serious Christians do with the Bible? They study it. They read it every day. They read certain chapters multiple times. They memorize certain verses. It's their Bible. And it's fine if you do that in your life. Great. I'm saying you need another Bible if you are really interested in personal growth. You need a second Bible. And it's The Untethered Soul. So what I'm suggesting is not that you just read it, but that you read it over and over again. That you pick it up every periodically and just read a page. Read it. Read a paragraph. Put it in a bathroom. Read it when you're in there. Right? Like, put it on your coffee table and during a commercial when you're watching some show, those commercials are boring. Read a sentence. This is a book that you need to treat as your Bible. And when you do, you are showing, you are manifesting that I am actually committed to my growth. I'm actually committed to learning about who I am and becoming self-aware, because all those things are what make for healthy, sustainable relationships. So that's the first thing, is The Untethered Soul has almost got to be sort of tethered to your hand, to where it's just always there and you're always reading it. My book, I might get another one and start over. I've underlined and then I've highlighted. And then I highlight it again with a different color, and then again with another different color. I've written on almost every page in the margins my own reflections, my own takeaways, my own, you know, new commitments. So the book is literally destroyed because I've gone through it so many times and marked it up and carved it up. Okay? So that's the first one. All right? Now, the second one, we go a little bit deeper, a little bit more complicated. If you are serious about personal growth and about learning and growing and ultimately wanting a healthy, sustainable, intimate relationship, then you would be a devotee of the Enneagram. The Enneagram of personality. It's a personality system that is really about spiritual, personal, and relational growth. Other personality systems are more just about basic kind of personality characteristics of humans and how it might apply to your career path and to the workplace and things like that. None of these other personality types, the Myers-Briggs, the DISC, NEO style, none of them come anywhere near to the accuracy and the depth of the Enneagram. The Enneagram, it stands alone, right? Much like the untethered soul stands alone, the Enneagram stands alone as a self-awareness tool, because that's what it is. It describes 9 different personality types, and one of those types is yours, and it's really, when you understand your personality type, that is 95% of what it means to be a self-aware person. Because what are you aware of? I'm aware of me, and the only me that you can find is the personality. Right? I mean, when we talk about being self-aware, what are we aware of? The only thing there is the personality. Right? So if we want to be self-aware, and you know that is the key to living an effective life in any area of your life, then the Enneagram has got to be something not that you're familiar with, but something that you're devoted to. Much like I just described your devotion to the untethered soul. It needs to be a central focus of your spiritual practice, of your personal growth practice, right? Just like if a person is truly committed to physical fitness, then they're committed to the practice of lifting weights to some degree. Because you can't be really fit unless your muscles are toned and strong and flexible. So you have to do resistance training. Not like a bodybuilder, right? You can go to the gym and just go through all the machines, get a full body workout. But you can't say you're into fitness if you're not doing some resistance training, right? It's just, right? And you can't say that you're into personal growth if you're not devoted to the Enneagram, because it describes your personality. And the benefit of the Enneagram is it not only tells you what your personality type is, but it shows you what your blind spots are. It shows you how you distort reality. It shows you how you will sabotage your life. It shows you what your deepest fears are and how and why they manifest. But more than that, it shows you what growth means for your type, because your type never changes. There's some debate, are you born with your personality type or do you develop by the age of 2 or 3? And my guess is it's a combination of both. But either way, by 3, 4 years old, your personality is formed. Any psychologist will tell you that. They might say by the age of 6 or 7. But certainly by your early life, your personality is formed. And it doesn't change, right? But you can grow as your type. So no matter what one of the 9 types you are, like I'm my ego, because that's what the Enneagram is mapping, the ego, the personality, ego, it's the same thing. Okay, your personality and your ego are the same things. Okay, they are. There's some minute distinctions, but for our purposes, they're the same thing. This, your sense of self, right? And so mine is type 3. And so I'm always going to be a type 3, but I can be a healthy, evolved type 3, or I can be a very unhealthy, unevolved, nearly pathological type 3, because there's a spectrum of every type, from being very unhealthy and pathological to being very evolved and, you know, spiritually enlightened. I just mentioned Jim Dethmer, who I'm going to interview in the next series. Jim is a type two. It's called the helper or the giver. Jim has been a type two, will always be a type two. But he's an evolved type two. Okay, so that's the beauty of the Enneagram, is it doesn't just tell you, here's your personality type, you know, have a nice day. It's like, no, here's where it can mess you up. Here's where it can make your relationships get into drama. And here are the things that you particularly need to work on if you want to grow. See, so personal growth is not the same for everyone. You can't go to a coach or a therapist or a counselor and be taken into some cookie cutter approach because people have different personalities. And so they have different distortions and different fears and they see the world differently. But the Enneagram sort of says, well, here's what you need to work on to grow. It might not be what I need to work on, but it is what you need to work on. And that's the advantage of being a coach like myself, who's an expert in the Enneagram, is I can tailor my coaching specifically to my clients' real needs, to their real issues. Because once we discover what your type is, we really get at, well, here's what you really need to work on. Here's how you stumble. Here's how you're going to annoy people. Here is how you're going to sabotage yourself. And so we're able to surface those things and work on them. So the Enneagram is just an unbelievable tool, okay? And it isn't something that you should just, oh, I'm going to discover my type and then just file that away and move on with your life. I'm talking about making the exploration of your Enneagram type a focal point of your life, something that you're devoted to. So you're reading about it, you're watching videos about it, you might have a book or two that describe the Enneagram. And, you know, I'm not saying you become some world-class expert, but you become an expert at your type. You might even attend some workshops, because there's all kinds of workshops all over the world of people teaching the Enneagram and helping people apply it to their lives and their relationships. If you are seriously committed to your personal growth, then you are not only a fan of the Enneagram, you are a devoted disciple of it. It is an integral part of your daily life. If someone asks me, Roy, is there a single thing that's made the biggest difference in your life, in your growth, your evolution, your, you know, how you've ended a lot of drama that you've had in your life? If there's a single thing other than me being around people like Jim Dethmer, other than that, there's nothing better than being around people who are on the awakening path and are further down it than you. There's nothing better than that. But second would be the Enneagram. It has just profoundly given me insights into my whole life and why I've done what I've done and why I made certain decisions in my past. It's helped me let go of regret, because when I look back and now that I know what my type is, okay, no wonder you did that, Roy, because you weren't aware of what your type was and it was running your life. But now you see it, it's like, oh, you can forgive yourself because you were just in the trance of your type. You were just owned by it. You had no awareness of it and no ability to transcend any of its patterns and goofy fears and kind of egoic expressions. Okay? So it's that important. And so if I've convinced you around this, then the first step is you need to discover what your type is. That's the first step. Now, it's not as easy as it sounds, okay? I'm going to say that from the very beginning. You have to stay with an open mind, an open heart as you explore because there's just too many examples of people who thought they knew their type, and then down the road they began to see themselves more clearly and they mistyped themselves, or someone mistyped them. Okay? So I want to give you some ways to begin your exploration. Okay? So there's two things I can offer you. First, because I'm an expert in it, I've made my own self-test. It's a document that I have. I'm willing to send it to you for absolutely free. Okay? I have a detailed, like an entire page describing each type. And you just read all nine types and you pick the one that seems to be, okay, and that one's kind of got me, right? You're going to find that no type is going to hit you 100%. You're always going to find something with a type that you don't resonate with, but you're going to find one of them is like, oh man, phew, that's pretty close. I mean, okay. So it's going to probably jump off the page at you and say, oh, that's got me. That's my type. Okay. So you can email me, roy@coachingwithroy.com. Say, hey, Roy, send me that Enneagram self-test you got, and I'll attach it, send it right back to you. No problem. No questions asked. No obligations. No further discussion necessary. I want to give you the test. Okay. Now, there are also a bunch of online tests, and I gotta caution you about them. Most of them, by their own admission now, most of them are only about 57% accurate. I don't want to take the time to describe why that is. They've done research and stuff, but there's a reason that even the people who have made the online tests say, about 57% chance that we're going to get it right with you, okay? I mean, the best way to discover your type is to talk to an Enneagram expert and do an actual typing session, okay? There are people who have been trained for years on how to see a person and assess a person and help them discover their type. So that costs hundreds of dollars to sit with someone for a couple of hours and go through questionnaires and interviews and stuff like that. So that's the best way to do it. The next best way is either my self-test or the online test that I'm going to point you to, because there's one of them that they're finding is about 85% accurate. And that one is found at Enneagram.is. That's the website. Enneagram is spelled Enneagram.is. Okay, Enneagram.is has the best online self-test. Now, it costs like $20 to take, okay? And the price might even be going up. Last time I checked, it was $20, okay? It's well worth it, all right? So those are your two options to discover your type. But once you discover your type, then it's about really getting into it, studying your type, learning about your type, right? Doing the research on your type and making that research be a continual thing in your life. So there are books that you can read. I would recommend a book that's called The Wisdom of the Enneagram by Rizzo and Hudson. The best book to read on it, especially to start with. You can go to YouTube and type in Enneagram, type whatever you think you are. And videos are going to pop up of really good teachers explaining the types and interviewing panels of people that have that type. There's a lot of stuff on YouTube. You can Google your type and read articles and find websites, right? There's lots of good websites out there. In fact, I really can't think of an Enneagram resource that I would say that's trash. Don't listen to them. There's really good stuff out there on the Enneagram. Okay? So there's videos and there's articles you find on Google. I'm sure you could do a podcast search and find some awesome stuff in the podcast world. Okay? But the best resource, I want to streamline this for you. I want to make it easy for you to get devoted to to understanding your type once you discover what it is. And so I would suggest the website that's called EnneagramInstitute.com. Okay? EnneagramInstitute.com. They have a self-test, but that one is in that 57% category. But that website is the best at describing the types and going into detail and explaining what you need to work on and what your fears are and how it sabotages, okay? So Enneagram.is to discover your type, EnneagramInstitute.com to immerse yourself in studying your type. Again, if I met a person at a conference on a phone call and they're like, and I say, you know, are you, you know, into personal growth? Are you into learning and growing as an individual and expanding and wanting to live your best life professionally and personally? Is that you? Like, yeah, that's me, man. I'm totally on a growth path. I love learning and growing and, you know, I just want to live an effective life. I want to be happy. I want good relationships. I want my love life to be great. I'm like, okay, cool. What's your type? What do you mean? You're Enneagram type. What's your type? Enneagram? I've never heard of that. And I'd be like, all right, then you're not into personal growth. You're not. Don't kid yourself. It's just like saying I'm into fitness, smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. No, you're not. You're not into fitness. Sorry. It really is that clear and that true. All right, so we've touched on the untethered soul. We've touched on the Enneagram. The third thing that if you truly are on a growth path, a learning path, and you want great relationships, you have to have some kind of contemplative practice in your life that you do with at least some regularity. You have to have a contemplative practice. You can't get away from it. Because whatever problem you have in your life is not happening to you, it's happening by you. So a contemplative practice helps you see yourself clearly. It helps you understand your mind, your emotions, the stories you tell yourself, your right? You've got to have a regular practice in your life where you sit still, where you are silent, and where you are in solitude. You got to have some of that in your life, and you will if you are truly on a growth path. You can't say I'm into personal growth, but I don't have any contemplative practice. You just can't. Now, what do I mean by contemplative practice? There are quite a few things I think that falls in this category. I think reading a book like The Untethered Soul is a contemplative practice. Reading Eckhart Tolle's books, reading other really good, you know, stand the test of time, personal growth books. That is contemplative practice. But so is prayer. So is meditation or reflection. Okay, so there really are a lot of contemplative options. And finding an option that works with you and for you, and of course your schedule and your lifestyle, is important. But you've got, I don't care how busy you are. I don't care how active your mind is. I don't care how much of a go-getter you are. You need, if you are into personal growth, you need some regular time where you sit in stillness and silence and solitude. You got to shut it off. You've got to quiet it down. Now, I want to point you to what I believe is, again, the best contemplative resource you will ever find in the world today. So I'm giving you a lot of the best in the world things today, and I will stand by them. Oh, Roy, I mean, the best in the world. Are you exaggerating? Are you just, what are you doing? I mean, I think anytime I hear that, I just tune out because people are exaggerating. It's bullshit. No, the untethered soul is the best. The Enneagram is the best. And the Waking Up app, developed by Sam Harris, is the best contemplative tool in the world today, and nothing comes close. So here's how I'll say it. If you don't have the Waking Up app on your phone, and if you aren't using it a couple of times a week, then don't tell me you're into personal growth. Just don't. Don't tell me you're serious about learning and evolving and being the kind of person that is really capable of healthy, sustainable relationships. It just doesn't match up. Again, it's just like saying I'm into physical fitness, but I never exercise. It's just like, nope, you're not into fitness. I don't know what you're doing, but you're not into fitness. The Waking Up app is just an unbelievable tool. Okay? Now, it's a meditation app, but it's so much more than that. It's an app with all kinds of teachings and podcasts and interviews of some of the most powerful spiritual teachers the world's ever known. Okay? But it is primarily a meditation app. And meditation's scary. Any contemplative practice is scary for most of us. The beauty of it is that this app, the Waking Up app, and you can find it on any place you get apps, okay? The beauty of it is he has laid out an introductory 28-day course, which is how you start the app. He's got 28 10-minute meditations, and you work your way through them. If you miss a day, doesn't matter, just do meditation number two on the third day or the fifth day or whatever. But there's 28 meditations that give you like an introduction to meditation. They help you learn the basics, and they're only 10 minutes long. So literally all you have to do is sit still, get quiet, be alone in solitude, turn it on, and do what he tells you to do. Just as best you can. If he says pay attention to your breath, then do that as best you can. If he says notice sounds or sensations or thoughts or emotions, just do that as best you can. Truly. It's not about being good at it. That's not it at all. It's about the effort to just follow along with a guided meditation. So he's got this series. You know, even if you're an advanced meditator, do the introductory 28-day course. But here's what's cool. When you finish the 28 days of 10-minute meditations, he uploads a brand new 10-minute meditation every single day. It's live for a day. If you miss it, it's gone. I don't know where it goes, but it's gone. But no worries, because the next day, a new one pops right up. So you've got this easy way to do little 10-minute meditations every day or as often as you want. Now, I don't do it every day. I really don't. But I do it regularly, and I do it at all different times of the day. Sometimes in the morning, sometimes at night, sometimes when I'm laying in bed and I can't fall asleep, I'll do a 10-minute meditation. Sometimes in the middle of the day, between clients, I've got a little time. It's just 10 minutes, right? And so it's just fantastic. Now, in addition to the 10-minute meditations, on the app, he's interviewed people like Locke Kelly, Adi Ashanti, Henry Shukman. These are all huge names in the spiritual awakening community, right? And so the app, he's good friends. Sam Harris is good friends with Joel Goldstein. He's probably the number one Buddhist meditation teacher in the world right now. and they have all kinds of conversations. There's questions and answers that you can listen in on. And so the app is just loaded with stuff. And he keeps adding new teachers. So it's not just him interviewing a teacher. No, he invites other teachers to put their products and their meditations and their teachings on his app. Okay? So it's like a hub. You go to the Waking Up app, and from there, you get access to all these great spiritual teachers and meditation teachers and people that have things to say about relationships and living life effectively. And I mean, everything from learning to meditate to time management. Okay. It's just an unbelievable resource. Now, here's the best thing. To buy it, because it costs money, it's $100, at least $100 a year. But here's what's cool. Sam has made it public repeatedly that he never wants money to stand in between anyone getting access to this app. So you can get it for free for an entire year. All you need to do is write an email to support@wakingup.com and say, hey, I'd like a free account. Can you hook me up? And they'll do it. No questions asked. You get 1 year for free. At the end of that year, if you still want it for free, send them another email and they'll give you another year. And they will do that indefinitely. So I'm telling you, this is the best contemplative tool in the world today. And it's absolutely free. And you can get it on your phone. I mean, decades ago, if you wanted some really good spiritual teaching, you had to go to fucking India. Now all you got to do is push on an app on your phone and they're right there. And it didn't cost you anything. So please don't tell me that you're really into your personal growth if you don't have that. If you're not using it with any regularity, I'm sorry. You're just not serious about your growth if you're not doing these things. All right, so there's the Untethered Soul. That's something you're reading. You got the Enneagram. That's something that you're studying. And then you've got the Waking Up app. And that's something you're doing. I'm doing my little meditations. I listen to other teachers. Maybe not every day. Maybe 2-3 times a week. Even that will change your fucking life. Just a couple days a week. Consistently. And it's going to change everything about you. Okay? So there's something you're reading, something you're doing, something you're studying. And the last one, the last thing, if you are serious about living an effective life, great relationships, personal growth, is that you need to hire a rude relationship coach. You need a rude coach. Now, what do I mean by that? Okay. There are two kinds of coaches in the world. There are coaches that want to make you feel good, and they want to, quote, encourage you and support you and really provide a safe place for you. And then there are coaches that love you with every ounce of their being, but they will not let you skate. They will not let you play victim. They will not let you blame things on other people. Those are the coaches that hold your feet to the fire, that challenge you to wake up, to get out of certain patterns, to stop showing up or behaving or believing or doing what you've been doing to get your life stuck. So you need to work with someone who loves you enough to get in your face if that's what you need. Does that make sense? What good does it do to be stuck in some aspect of your life and be with someone who is just being nice and encouraging and say, oh, you poor thing, or I can't believe your boss is doing that to you. Oh, your ex was such an asshole. you know, life is so unfair. Your parents really, they really dealt you a terrible set of cards. You're stuck with it. You just learn that you have to learn how to cope with everything now. You know, what good does that do you? And it might temporarily make you feel good. But what you need is for someone to say, yes, I see what's happened. And yes, people have been assholes. But you are responsible for your life right now and where it goes and how it unfolds. So what are you going to do about it? Right? You need a coach who's willing to challenge you, who's willing to even piss you off, who's willing, I might even say, to hurt your feelings, but not in the way that it might sound. Now, listen very closely here. When you hire a coach, what are you basically doing? And I don't care if it's a coach for sports performance or finding a partner. Doesn't matter. What are you basically doing? You're saying, I need you to help me discover why whatever area of my life I'm interested in isn't going well. I need you to help me get better at this. I need you to help me discover how I'm sabotaging myself, what my blind spots are, how I'm causing myself trouble. In other words, when you hire a coach, you're coming to them sort of admitting that I don't know what's happening here. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know why I can't make this part of my life work. So in a sense, you're coming to a coach saying, I'm kind of asleep. I don't see it. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm missing. I don't know what's wrong, right? So you're coming to a coach kind of asleep, right? And so do you want your coach just to tuck you in and fluff up your pillow and tuck in the covers around you and just say night-night? Do you want them just to make your sleep more comfortable? Or do you want them to wake you up, right? And if you want them to wake you up, that's what you're hiring them to do. Wake me up. Now, like I said earlier, sometimes all we need is a little gentle nudge and we have aha moments. It's like, oh my God, thank you. I never saw it that way. That changes everything. That makes sense. I know how to show up differently. I know how to live differently. I know how to respond differently. Right? So sometimes you're just barely asleep and all you need is a nudge. But other times you need someone to shake you. Wake up. Come on, wake up. You need someone to yell maybe a little bit because you're so deeply asleep. And then other times you are so completely unconscious that I need to get a bucket of water and dump it on your face to wake you up because it's that bad. Okay? Now, when a coach gives you a nudge or a shake or a bucket of water, they're doing it because that's what you hired them to do. So they're loving you. They're coaching you and showing up and bringing a type of energy to serve you in getting what you said you wanted, right? So they're not being mean. They're being loving. They're not being rude. They're serving your growth. The coach is just wise enough to sort of know what you need moment by moment. Now, I had a coach that was very loving and very compassionate, very, very understanding, no judgment. But she knew at times I needed a kick in the ass. And there were times when she let me have it. Because she knew that I was playing games. I was just asleep. I was kidding myself. I was deceiving myself. So sometimes she had to shake me and challenge me. And there were times where I was so mad at her. I mean, I cussed her out. I yelled and screamed at my coach on the phone. I'm not lying to you. Because she pissed me off. But she pissed me off for my good. It's what I needed. And really, right? So you don't want to just find a coach or a therapist. You want to find someone who I guess I would call, who is a rude relationship coach, who will rudely stand for your best, who will rudely do what you hired them to do. This happens periodically with some of my clients, is that they'll share something, they're in a pattern, they're in something, and they're kind of stuck in something, and they keep talking about the same subject kind of week after week as we do our sessions. And I feel like they're just asleep. And sometimes I have to kind of get in their face. Say, come on, quit playing the victim here. You've been complaining about this for weeks. You know, and that hurts their feelings. That makes them upset. But I'm not doing it out of my ego or because I get some thrill. I'm doing it because I guess it's what's necessary to wake you up out of your shit. Because you hired me to do that. And so I'm just using whatever method that I need to use to help you get what you want. That's what a good coach is doing. And you just have to find a coach who has the guts to do that, because it is not, it's not easy to piss off your clients. You don't want them to fire you. You don't want them to quit working with you, right? But you have to risk it if you're going to truly serve them. It's like being a parent to a child. You can't want your child to always like you. You'll never be a good parent. Sometimes you got to hold them accountable. Sometimes you got to challenge them. And they're going to, I hate you, mommy. I hate you, daddy. And you can't let that bother you, because you know that what you're doing for your child is coming from love. It's for their best. They might not know it at the time, but you know it's for their best. And so you withstand their criticism and their complaining or their hurt feelings. Because you know years and years in the future, they're going to come back to you and say, you know, thanks for busting my chops back when I was 13, because I was getting on a path that I don't know where that was headed. And you rang my bell and you got my attention. And at the time I hated you for it, but now I'm like, oh, I completely get it. That happens usually when you have your own kids. Then your parents start making more sense to you. Okay. So what I want to do here, I want to read you something that I wrote in my first book. My first book was called A Drink with Legs. It was all about me getting out of my relationship drama. And there's a chapter in the book at the very end where I talk about this, where I talk about if you're truly on a spiritual growth, if you want change, if you want healthy relationships, you need to have a coach, and you need a rude relationship coach. And so here is just a little bit of what I wrote. I think it's going to be really powerful for you. Have you noticed that nearly every successful person in any field has a coach or a team of coaches around them? Those who are committed to bridging the gap between their life and their dreams hire coaches. Why would we approach relationships differently? If you want relationship bliss, you have to hire a relationship coach. You can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. I wrote that three times in the book. You can't do it alone is the point. So I go on to say, without the love, support, guidance, and the occasional kick in the ass from my relationship coach, Diana, I would never have unwound my issues with women and created the relationship I now have with my wife. I could not have done it without her. She was my guru, my mentor, my guide, my sage, my cheerleader, my ass kicker. If you don't have a personal coach, you are missing out on the best thing in life, and you're never going to get anywhere significant. Then I go on to say, very briefly here, so, most importantly then, make it your intention to find a coach who won't coddle you or let you skate. Diana was an amazing, rude relationship coach. There were many times that I wanted to crawl through the phone and throttle her. Spiritual teacher Ken Wilber, this is how he puts it. Listen, this is an unbelievable quote from Ken Wilber, a beautiful spiritual mind in the world of conscious living. This is what he wrote. When it comes to spiritual coaches, there are those who are safe, gentle, consoling, soothing, caring, and there are those outlaws, the living terrors, the rude boys and the nasty girls of God realization, the men and women who are in your face, disturbing you, terrifying you, until you radically awaken to who and what you really are. And may I suggest, choose your teachers carefully. If you want encouragement, soft smiles, ego stroking, gentle caresses of your self-contracting ways, pats on the back, and sweet words of solace, find yourself a nice guy or a good girl and hold their hand on the sweet path of stress reduction and egoic comfort. But if you want enlightenment, if you want to wake up, if you want to get fried in the fire of passionate infinity, that phrase just, that gets me. If you want to get fried in the fire of passionate infinity, then I promise you, find yourself a rude boy or a nasty girl, the ones who make you uncomfortable in their presence, who will suffer you not sweet comfort, but abject terror, not saccharine solace, but scorching angst. For then, just then, you might very well be on the path to your own original face. So I close with this. It's okay if you don't hire me as your coach or someone else. I'm not saying it has to be me. I just described the kind of person you do need. What I'm saying is you really are not committed to your growth if you don't have someone like that in your life. Just don't kid yourself. Stop saying you're into personal growth. Stop saying you want to attract a healthy, significant, sustainable, intimate relationship. Stop saying you want to learn and grow and evolve and be the best version of yourself. If you don't have a coach, you're just full of shit. Okay? That's as rude as I can be. You're just not being serious. Again, I'm into personal fitness, health and fitness. I smoke cigarettes. I eat fast food. No, you're not. You're not into it. But I think you are. And you can start right now today. You can go to Amazon and get The Untethered Soul. You can use the resources I pointed you to and start working on your Enneagram type. You can go to the App Store on your phone and get the Waking Up app and pay for it. If you can't afford it, send an email, support@wakingup.com. Get it for free. And you can pick up the phone or send an email to me right now and say, Roy, you're right. I've been playing games. I'm never going to get to the place I want to be if I don't hire someone to challenge me, to love me, to question me, to help me wake up. So I'm right here for that. I'm right here. Roy@coachingwithroy.com. My cell phone number, 407-687-3387. So, okay, end of rant. Maybe 6 months from now, I will have some more stuff to rant about. All right, so until next week, when we jump into the path of awakening, have a great week. You know, take care. And, I hope to hear from you. Okay, bye-bye.
You've been listening to Attracting Lasting Love with Roy Biancalana. Be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss a single episode. And while you're at it, please leave a rating and review and share it with anyone you think might benefit from listening. Check out our website at coachingwithroy.com and tune in every week for more insights and wisdom on creating healthy, lasting, conscious relationships.